on the promises, standing on the promises. But before I begin, I just want to acknowledge that it is not me that will anoint this or me that can get the message across. I'm going to give to you what God gave to me, and He is the one who will give that blessing or that anointing or bring it to your heart. Heavenly Father, I recognize that you are holy. We're so thankful for your precious blood that you shed for us. We're so thankful for the promises that you have given to us. In your word, it is full of promises that you've made for us. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you will anoint our hearts to receive today, anoint our minds to retain. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing on the promises, our faith in the promises of God is the anchor that holds us secure, no matter what storm we are facing. All of our in our lives, we face different storms. The lifeline of God's promises anchors us to the throne of God. Our job is to trust and hold on. There are times when people feel hopeless because of earthly situations, whether it's not enough money or being overwhelmed by tasks that they're facing, doctor's reports that are not good, job layoffs, spousal rejection, or just rejection in general. There are various things, but Jesus has given us promises that will meet those needs. He will meet them. On August the 12th, 2000, the largest submarine in the Russian fleet, named the Kursk, suffered an internal explosion. Some of you may remember that, and it went down in 350 feet of water in the Barents Sea. 118 men were aboard that submarine. Deep sea divers went down to assess the situation and to determine if anyone had survived. As they were circling the ship deep beneath the sea, they heard a pinging sound and began to listen more closely. What they were hearing was a type of Morse code coming from some of the men in the sub. The divers deciphered the code, which turned out to be a simple question: is there any hope? Our hearts are broken when we hear that, but is there any hope? That's a question that many people are asking today. When they're facing issues in life, they say, is there any hope? So where do we turn when it seems that hope runs dry? In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the writer there says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross, he entered that inner sanctuary. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner. Jesus is our hope. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom because Jesus became our high priest. He made it possible for us to enter into the very presence of God. It was impossible before this new covenant, and Jesus made that possible. Anchors have only one purpose. They are designed to steady the boat and hold it fast. We all need a good anchor in order to weather the strong winds and storms that come in life. We need an anchor that can hook securely to an object that is stronger than the storm, something that can hold stronger than the winds of the storm. Jesus is the master of every storm that may come to us. We need a good anchor because we are God's creation, a valuable vessel. You say, well, why are we valuable? Each of us has an eternal spirit within us, and God created us in His own image. Our spirit distinguishes us from the animals. Some of us might not agree, but anyway, but our spirit unites us with God. Our spirits need an anchor, an anchoring point that is sturdier than the storm. The Hebrew writer said that our anchor is set in the inner sanctuary, behind the curtain where Jesus, our forerunner, the one who went ahead of us, has entered on our behalf. He went in before God and he made it possible for us to come into the very presence of God. Our anchor is secured in the very throne room of God. No matter what storm or attack that comes against us, the anchor of the promises of God, spoken from the very throne of God, give us hope and keep us strong. When the wave of death sweeps into our life, we can cling to the promise that death is not the end of life. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's a promise that God has given to us. When the attacks come against our self-image, we have so many young people that deal with that. Not only young people, older people. People that are attacked, so much social media, and we have an attack that comes against our self-image, we can cling to the promise that I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the very image of God. I don't have to change anything. I am who God created me to be. I am precious to God. I am made in His image, and He loves me. When the attacks of Satan come against us, we can remember that the devil is a defeated foe. And God will give us the victory over him because greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. When the attacks of doubt and failure come, we can hold on to the promise that Jesus is a very present help in time of trouble. The scripture tells us that is his promise. He is a help in time of trouble. The Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. We are promised that our prayers have power, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's not just going just into the air. It is a promise that those prayers are very, very piercing, and they avail much. We are promised that our sorrow will not last forever. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We are not always going to be sad. Nothing and no one can take our hope because nothing and no one can take Jesus from us. We have him as our strong anchor. Neither sin nor death, neither betrayal nor sickness or disappointment can overcome the promises of God. If we cling to those promises, because the promises of God are trustworthy and true, they are absolutely stable and secure. God is not a man that he should lie, the scripture tells us, neither the son of man that he should change his mind. What he says he will do, hath he spoken, and will he not do it? As he said it, he'll make it good. The promises of God can walk us through horrific tragedies and can buoy us in our day-to-day difficulties. Russell Kelso Carter was a man who trusted in God and his promises and experienced these truths. Russell was a gifted athlete and student. In 1864, at the age of 14, during a prayer meeting, he surrendered his life to Christ. Russell's understanding of God's promises makes his story relevant to us. By the age of 30, Russell had a critical heart condition and was on the brink of death. He knelt and made a promise that whether or not he was healed, his life was finally and forever consecrated to the service of the Lord. Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. That's exactly what this young man said. From that moment on, the scripture took on a new life for Russell, and he began to lean on the promises he found in the Bible. He committed himself to believe whether or not God granted him healing, and Russell lived for another 49 years. Russell's decision to trust God in the midst of his difficulties gave birth to a hymn that is one of my favorites that we sing often, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring, glory in the highest I will shout and sing, because I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of fear, doubt, and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. As Max Licato said about the promises of God, he said, build your life on the promises of God. Since his promises are unbreakable, your hope will be unshakable. The winds may still blow, The rain may still fall, but in the end you will be standing, because you are standing on the promises of God. As we hold fast and stand on the promises that God has made, we can have security in this turbulent and confused world. No physical leader, no matter how many promises he or she may vow, can bring peace and security to our world. Only Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Only Jesus can bring that. I'm reminded of a heartwarming story that perhaps you also remember, about Shirley Temple in the film The Little Princess. She was left in a prestigious boarding school while her wealthy father fought in the war. She didn't want him to leave. She was grieved that he was leaving, but he promised that he would return for her. Shirley Temple was treated like a princess because her father paid a great sum of money for her excellent care. But news of his disappearance spread, and the funds for her expensive schooling dried up. Shirley was then treated like a slave girl and forced to work in the kitchen. This is my memory of that story. Maybe you remember a few other details. This film beautifully portrays, captures this little girl's resilience and hope as she remembers her father's promise and waits for him to return. Of course, he did return, but you know the rest of the story. Jesus has given us promises, and sometimes we get kind of like, get down. We say, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Is he really going to fulfill this? But he always keeps his promise. We can confidently stand on God's promises as a sure foundation. I think of the story of Jacob and Esau. And Esau was the older son and Jacob the younger son. They were twins that were born in Genesis, the 25th chapter. Twins that were born, and of course the firstborn was the one that had the special blessing. But Esau was the firstborn, but Jacob was holding on to his heel. And anyway, so as he was born, his mother, Rebecca, said, what in the world is happening? I don't know what's happening, all of this going on inside. But she said, the Lord said to her, there are two nations in your womb. Two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. There was a promise given. God had a plan. Even though Esau was born first, God had a plan. He was not the one that was going to receive the blessing. You say, well, that isn't fair. God knows the future, and he understands what we will have and what we will desire. So when the time came, of course, as I said, Esau was born and Jacob holding on to his heel. Esau became a skillful hunter and a man of the open country, and that made his dad love him because he loved that. Jacob was one that was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac loved Esau more, and he knew that Esau was going to be the one to receive the blessing, he thought. But Esau did something that broke Isaac's heart, and that was that he married a girl that was not a believer. She was a foreigner, and she worshipped false gods, and it broke Isaac's heart. But he overlooked it, and he said, and so anyway, the story goes on, and Jacob, he desires that blessing. He wants it so badly. He wants the blessing. And so his mother, they worked this idea. The father calls Esau in, and he says, go out and kill me, what I like to eat, a deer, whatever it was, goat. Bring it, prepare it just like you always do. And so the mother said to Jacob, well, you know what? I know exactly what your dad likes, and we can fix it. So she fixed it up so that he appeared to be like Esau. Esau was hairy. Jacob said that my dad will know. No, she said, I'll fix it. So at Rebecca's instruction, isn't this the way it is a lot of times? A woman tries to undermine and change the way things are. But anyway, God had a plan in this. However, Jacob would have been chosen to receive that blessing anyway. But so she fix it up, fix the meat. And she said, now go in. And she put on all the stuff that would smell like Esau. And he went before his father. And he said, Father, I'm here with what you asked me to prepare. And he said, well, come closer. You don't sound like Esau. Your voice sounds like Jacob. And, of course, he lied, and he said, no. And his father said, let me feel. He felt, and she had put the goat hair on him. I don't know how you could put that much on. But anyway, she fixed him up so that he appeared to be Esau. She even made his clothes smell like Esau. And so Isaac went through it, and he was deceived. And he said, okay, come here, let me bless you. And so he pronounced a blessing upon Jacob, the blessing that would have been for the older son. But he pronounced it. And when a father gives a blessing, when God gives a blessing for us, it's irreversible. He has blessed us, and I cannot take it back. I receive that blessing, and that's what happened with Jacob. So when Esau came in later, and he said, Father, I'm here. And he said, what do you mean? And his heart sank, and he said, what do you mean? And he said, you came in. And he said, no, that was not me. And so Isaac was very disappointed, and Esau said, you've got to bless me. Give me a blessing too. So his father gave him a blessing, but it was not that kind of blessing. And so, of course, you remember that before this happened, even before that, that Jacob had prepared a stew, and Esau came in starving, and he said, I'll give you my birthright. I don't care that much about it. I want to eat. What good is it if I die? You see, he had no foresight, the future. He did not believe that birthright was really that important. And so Jacob deceived the father, and he got the birthright. And then Rebekah told him later, because, of course, Esau was very angry. You remember, he said, I swear I will kill him. When my dad is gone, when he's dead, I'm going to kill him for what he's done. So Rebekah told him, you run away, you go to my brother. Go to Laban, to Haran, to Laban. And so, but when Jacob got there, the thing that is relevant that I want to show you is that after he spent 20 years there in Haran, working to, and he gained a wife, 7 years he got to Rachel, and then 7 years for Leah. And then he stayed there 20 years total working, and he said, I'm going to go back. I want to go back because there is something that God has promised to me. But he was afraid. But he remembered and he believed God's promise. And so he went back, and we read in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Jacob prayed, O God of my father, Abraham. He's reminding God who he is. My father, Abraham, God of my father, Isaac. Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you've shown your servant. I had only my staff when it crossed. I didn't have anything when I came over the Jordan, when I came here. Now I've got lots of wealth. You have blessed me abundantly. He says, save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. He's afraid when he goes back to meet Esau that Esau is going to kill him. And he's very afraid, even though he has wealth, immense wealth. And so he says, but you have said, he reminded God, you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. This was his blessing, and he reminded God of that. Sometimes when we are searching or we need something, we maybe should remind God, you have said in your word, this is my blessing, this you have promised, I claim it. So when Jacob was left alone and he was there, a man wrestled with him till daybreak. You remember the story how he wrestled, and Jacob was wrestling. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. He would not turn him loose. Jacob said, I will not turn you loose until you bless me. We need to be persistent and say, God, I'm not going to release you from this promise you made to me until it is fulfilled. I cling to it and I claim it. And then the man said, let me go, it's daybreak. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked, what is your name? And Jacob, he said. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Now that man that he wrestled with was not a man, it was Jesus, because no man had the authority to change his name. It was God himself that came down and revealed himself as Jacob wrestled. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, means the face of God. I have seen the face, I've seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Jacob was aware that he had actually wrestled with God, but he was wanting that blessing that badly. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Jesus said in John, he was persistent in wanting something, and we need to be persistent when we look into the Word of God and there's a promise. Say, God, you said it, your Word is absolutely established. You cannot lie, you're not a man that you would lie. And Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. This is a promise. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Many people say, I don't believe Jesus is coming back. I don't believe he's preparing a place for us, but we have that promise. We can cling to it, we can hold to it, and say, God, you've promised it, and I hold to it. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the prophet said, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel, and I want you to know that it doesn't matter whether he said Israel or not, because in Hebrews it said, when God made his promise to Abraham, anyway, it applies to every person who believes the Word of God, who accepts Jesus as Lord. And we'll get to that, I guess. So he says, listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. He says, don't be afraid, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. The song that Roman is saying, you know my name. And of course, I think God gives us another name, but he said, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, we all have met some of these in our lives. You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Whatever you have a need of, the promises of God are in there. The Bible's filled with thousands of promises. When God made his promise to Abraham, he said, there's no one greater for me to swear by. So he swore by himself, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And God has sworn by himself that he will fulfill the promises that he has given to us. In Hebrews, the writer says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. He is the one who is there before God in our behalf. Second Peter says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. We can be like Jesus because he has made us like that before God. He himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you feel like you're alone, and there are times you feel like that you're, perhaps you've lost a very precious person that's dear to you, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is on my side. My husband used to say, you and God is a majority. That makes a majority, you with God. And so, 1 John, Jesus said, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us. What is the promise? If you abide in him, eternal life. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We do not receive it any other way, only through Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In Galatians it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There, this is the verse I wanted to relate to you. Anything in the scripture that talks about Jesus, God is talking to Israel and giving a promise, it applies to you and to me. We do not replace the Jewish people. We do not replace Israel, but we become adopted and brought in. That's why God extended this time of grace. He says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what unites us. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have every promise that God has made for those he loves. It applies to you. When Jesus died on the cross, we received communion today in commemoration and gratefulness for that new covenant. When he died on the cross, the veil that separated us from the holiness of God was torn from the top to the bottom. Jesus became sin for us. He took the wrath and rejection of God that we deserved. The wrath that we deserved, Jesus took so we could be accepted by God. When God looks at us, he only sees the righteousness of Jesus. Aren't you glad? We are no longer bound by the law because Jesus fulfilled it for us. The law reveals the holy character, the nature of God. It shows us his nature. But through Jesus, we have been made righteous, a righteousness that we could never gain by our works. Some people want to do works and they think that makes them especially holy. And of course, we are saved unto good works, but good works will not save us. We only need to accept Jesus' payment for our sins. And so today, if there are promises, I've only given you just a few promises. There are thousands of promises in the Word of God that apply to you and to me. God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. We will win. We know the end of the story. And Satan is trying in every way he can to discourage people and to cause them to look at the difficulties and say, I give up. But I'm telling you, hang on. Those promises are true and they will be fulfilled, just as God said. So if you have not accepted Jesus today, and you want these promises, you want a strong an anchor to something that is secure, no human can give that to you, but Jesus can, and he will. If you just submit to him, give him your life. As I pray, do that with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and I come in behalf of those who would like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. They recognize that they have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of your glory. But we pray, oh God, that you will see us, and we give you our lives. You said if we confess our sins and believe on you that you forgive us of all the unrighteousness, and you give us your life, your righteousness. And we accept it, Lord, right now, Jesus. Thank you for the promises that you have for us. I pray that you will help us cling to those promises tenaciously. Just as Job said, he said, though God slay me, yet will I serve him. Even when it seems like, and God, you would never slay us, but even if it seems like everything's going against us, you are still for us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you have made Jesus Lord of your life. And if you have not, get a Bible and sit down and begin to read the promises that God has for you and for me. When you read in that scripture that says Israel, remember that you are adopted. You are chosen by God just as Israel is. You do not replace them, but you are one. We are one with them. And we love you and thank you for watching us today. We trust that you will have a blessed week, and may the Lord be with you. Has a hard time finding that little button, and I can't reach it unless I step around. We have promises that God is with us, he's for us. And so I know that some of us have gone through some tough times.